Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Did you see that they've formally renamed the Tomorrowland Transit Authority to the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover?
Wait, what? They did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. What? There's a sign and everything.
This makes me so unreasonably happy. No one knows what the fuck we're talking about, though. This is our video game podcast. Podcast for August 6th, 2010. Hi, everybody. This is Michael Minotti, and I am joined by my brother Edge Guy. Say hi.
Hi.
And we're also joined by our good friend and my fellow Bitmob. Well, he's actually my superior at Bitmob. He's an editor, and I'm a lowly writer. But say hello to
nothing.
James DeRosa.
Hi, James.
It's good to have you on finally, James.
Good to be here. I actually asked to be on like a long time ago. But then I sort of lost the thread.
Yeah, I did everything
I could. We get to these things
eventually.
About
it. I was like, oh, no, we don't want him on. No. No. All right, here's what we got going on today. I got news. How's news looking, AJ?
It's newsy.
All right, moving on. Then we have the quiz. The Great American Azga Gaming Quiz. I don't know why it's an Italian quiz today. I know why. We have three Italian boys today, right?
My last name's Portuguese.
Oh, fuck.
DeRosa?
Yep.
I guess it is, when I think about it. Okay, well...
Close enough. They're both peninsulas.
Off to a good start. All right, then. After that, we got either or. We finally can do either or today. We have three people, so we're doing either or. Bringing it back. After that, we'll do our week in gaming. We'll talk about the releases, and that'll be the show. So, get going, Edge Guy.
Okay, so they revealed some details about the Medal of Honor limited edition that's coming out, and the most interesting detail about it was that it will include an invite to the Battlefield 3 beta.
But that wasn't announced before, right?
I don't believe so. And this is like Battlefield 3, not Battlefield Bad Company 3, so that's kind of interesting.
So yeah. No cheap like military accoutrements? Like night vision goggles?
It probably will be more of a multiplayer-focused game, is my guess.
Okay.
I think Bad Company connotates that there's a single-player component to it, but just Battlefield is more multiplayer.
Do you think Battlefield 3 would be a World War II game again?
Well, Battlefield 2 was modern, so I don't know. My guess is that it will be modern. It'll probably just be, for all intents and purposes, it'll probably be Bad Company 3. Like I said, I think just more multiplayer-focused.
Well, this is kind of confusing now, because there's been Battlefield... Battlefield 1942, then Battlefield Vietnam, which was kind of Battlefield 2. But then we had the real Battlefield 2. Then we had Battlefield Bad Company.
No, then you had Battlefield,
Battlefield
2142.
Okay, which maybe that could be interpreted as Battlefield 3, but apparently not. Then Bad Company, Bad Company 2, Battlefield 1943. What a bizarre series.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, I'm excited about the potential of a Battlefield 3, especially one that'll like be designed for consoles, kind of, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I like that. I'd definitely be more excited about that than the Medal of Honor. Does anyone give a shit about this Medal of Honor game? Can I ask that?
From what I understand, it's like this weird dilution between Call of Duty and Battlefield, and it just ultimately doesn't really work.
I mean, cheers to bringing back Medal of Honor, I guess. They sort of started the whole thing, but I have almost zero interest in it, so...
Right.
It just from the impressions that I gather, when you're playing it, you're either wishing it would be more like Call of Duty, so you just go play Call of Duty, or you're wishing it be more like Battlefield, so you just go play Battlefield.
So does it have like the geomodding and stuff from Battlefield? Or
no, it doesn't. That's the thing. It's the Frostbite engine, but it doesn't have the destructibility.
See, I didn't even pick up Bad Company 2 yet. I feel like I'd rather just play that.
See, I have Bad Company 2, and I haven't even touched the single player. I've just played multiplayer. It's excellent.
But is it bad that like I'm pining for World War II games again?
I actually was driving from the grocery store today and had the idea of how to do like an awesome World War II game in my head, but like I was like, it's sad no one would want to play it even if it was good.
There's just something.
Oh, they might be due for a comeback.
I think they are. I really do. Like, World at War kind of tried. But like, I really want like the awesome World War II game again now.
It'd have to do something.
I'm begging for that.
It would have to do something phenomenal with its set pieces, I think, to be like, you know, palatable to people who are tired of, like me, who are just tired of World War II first-person shooters altogether.
Right. It's kind of tough because, you know, you can only do Normandy so many times.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons in game design and how these games work with the Modern War series.
You know, it'd be interesting if I went back and played Medal of Honor Allied Assault and did the Normandy Beach mission again. Because in my mind, when I played that, that was the most amazing thing ever.
Well, no, in your mind, you just really see Private Ryan.
I never saw Private Ryan, so.
Oh, that's true. You haven't, so maybe not.
I am a pure mind.
I'm sure if I went back and played it, you'd probably be like, there's like 10 guys in this beach. Like, what the heck?
But in my mind, it was just epic and ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're right. Probably not so much. My favorite interpretation of Normandy Beach was just the multiplayer level for Return to Castle Wolfenstein. That the one you can only play in the demo, and I used to play it in school all the time. Let's move on.
Okay. Well, still continuing about Battlefield, you may or may not recall that they are still bringing Battlefield 1943 to the PC.
What?
Yeah. They claim it's still happening, but they are accepting refunds for people who pre-ordered it if they're tired of waiting so long for it.
Interesting.
Because then that game came out, well, it was about a year ago, right?
Yeah, it's been out for... Well, that was the Summer of Arcade game last year, so yeah.
So yeah.
Not
hope
so much.
You know, weren't really banking on that. I don't understand why it's taking so long. I mean, the Frostbite engine exists on PC. It's not that complex of a game.
Who knows?
Do it now.
Just do it. All right. What's
that? Insomniac has announced that they will be announcing a new game before PAX, and then they'll be demoing it at their panel at PAX. It is not the multi-platform EA game, so everyone's guessing it's Resistance 3.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah. Announcements for announcements are also an Ouroboros, a snake eating its own tail that I can't quite wrap my head around.
That's what the snake said. But
is Resistance still technically a World War II game?
It was always in the 50s, and there was no World War II because the Chimera broke out.
I thought it was more of a Cold War sort of feeling game. Like they come from Russia or whatever.
That is right. It's 1950s, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't really care about Resistance. I really never been able to. Like,
well, I feel like Resistance 2 was like a finely crafted game. It's just
who played it.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I think even Insomniac was like, wow, we tried really hard on this, and like, it just didn't take. Like, what do we do now? So I'm sure if it is Resistance 3, I'm hoping they've put a lot of thought into it.
Nathan Hale is also like one of the worst protagonists ever. He's like the blandest main character I think I've ever played as in a game.
Nathan Hale and like that guy from Infamous could just be like switched and I wouldn't even notice.
I think if they do Resistance again, it needs to be slower paced. I always said like Resistance felt like a Unreal era first person PC shooter thrown onto the PS3. With a bajillion weapons that all do like secondary and tertiary fire, and everything's moving like 100 miles per minute. You can't like parse what's going on. If it was like a more deliberate pace, almost like a Halo pace, I think it'd be better for it. Because you can be more tactical about how you're going to use all those weapons.
Like the only one I played one when they came to PS3 because, you know, you kind of had to because you had a PS3, you had to get something.
Right.
Just did
you get the darkness.
that wasn't a launch game.
It was close.
Close-ish.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Valve is more than happy to share some of their Mac code base with developers as long as they agree to use Steamworks in their game.
Of course.
Which I think is a fair trade-off. Free technology if you use their stuff.
Because Valve are the good guys of the gaming industry, right?
They are.
They're going to help everybody make Mac games.
Didn't Uncharted do something similar with its physics engine, but no strings attached?
I think it's like all the Sony developers kind of share their stuff. Like I know like Naughty Dog and Insomniac and Sucker Punch, they have a history of sharing tech with each other.
Okay.
Yeah. There's kind of like that Sony second party going on.
Do you think that Insomniac is like very aware and jealous that they make Resistance while Naughty Dog makes Uncharted?
Well, maybe that's why they're going multi-plat and going to EA.
Or even Sucker Punch makes Infamous, you know?
I don't know if I give. I would put. Yeah, I would put Sucker. I would ask if Sucker Punch is also jealous that these three companies used to kind of be pretty even. And now they all have made their like second franchise, and the one is just clearly better than the other ones.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Okay. So Castlevania: Lords of Shadow is apparently going to take up two discs on the Xbox 360. It was brought to the attention of the developer that, you know, this is a Hideo Kojima game, sort of. This wouldn't have anything to do with there being really long HD cutscenes in the game, to which they basically responded, oh, no. I mean, our longest cutscene is only 14 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now, I want you to digest that. A Castlevania game is going to have a 14-minute cutscene.
That's like Xenosaga length.
Why? God damn it, why? No one asked for this. You only need one Castlevania cutscene, and we all know how that goes.
No, Castlevania Lords of Shadow is going to be sweet. I'm calling it right now.
I think the game itself be fine. I don't need a freaking 14-minute cutscene in my
game. Listen, Patrick Stewart's a voice in it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe it's like a 14-minute Shakespeare soliloquy.
Okay, I will only accept it as a 14-minute monologue by Patrick Stewart. Then it's okay.
And don't tell me that you were enthralled by the Metal Gear Solid 4 cutscene data, because I know you were.
I would have been if I hadn't seen them all as quote-unquote trailers before the game
Maybe Raiden fighting
Vamp for 20 Vamp. Minutes was yeah, a bit much.
since it was in, like, the second trailer for the game. Yeah, bit of a problem there. Mm. Next.
So Halo Reach apparently has figured out a way to penalize rage quitters.
People always say this, like, we're going to discourage rage quitters, and they never do. What's their big method?
Well, they haven't said what it is.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They don't want you to know, so you can't exploit it, I guess.
Yeah, wait, whatever.
You're saying so you can't exploit their method of discouraging rage quitting? Don't you have to be aware of a method of discouragement in order for it to be effective, or else you'll just quit?
Yeah, James raises a good point there.
Well, if you just quit, then you get penalized.
But what if you have to quit for legitimate reasons? See, there's lots of gray area here.
Well, don't quit.
Never
win or something.
My dad's having a heart attack. I better turn off the freaking team deathmatch. And then you come back and you have a tag that says, loser! Like, oh, man.
If your dad's having a heart attack, I think your Halo ranking suddenly becomes not a very high priority.
Well, I don't think she'd penalize for it. We don't know. Is the Halo ranking what happens? You say you don't know what happens.
All right, now you're going to make me go and try to find more
info. Oh, no, I don't really care that much. Please, just go ahead. Go next.
Well, they've also announced that Halo Reach is done. It has gone gold.
That doesn't mean anything anymore these days with patches and everything. That means nothing.
That might be true.
Nothing. They're still working on it or making the next map pack or whatever.
Okay, it's people who are habitually quitting out of games. There.
How are they
gonna I guess if they have some sort of like beneath the hood way of monitoring, you know, people who do this habitually over extended periods of time, that could some way to entice people to finish a game that they know they're gonna lose. That could be good.
See?
Well, that's kind of like the whole thing behind what Modern Warfare does with giving you XP even if you lose. I think that's probably been a more effective rage quitting thing than anything.
They should do what Explosion Man did when you quit when you cheated on levels and it like gave you a tutu or whatever.
Really? I did not know that.
Interesting.
I've never tried to cheat in that game. I didn't know you could cheat in that game.
Hey, after you lose like 5 times, it asks you if you want to do easy mode, and then if you do that, it puts like a tutu on you. I think.
Hey AJ, what's up with Project Icarus?
What?
Project Icarus.
What's Project Icarus?
Are you kidding me?
I know
you're
this.
You're in charge of our news?
I know this.
Are you kidding me?
This is the, whatchamacallit, the guys who made Bioshock. Irrational. Yes, okay, I did know this. I just had to think for a second.
Oh my god.
It's a countdown, okay?
Kojima picture they shot or whatever, where it was like a storm in the background. It's sort of like that, right?
Yeah, there's nothing to it. That's why
they're about to announce their next game. Oh, shut up. Like, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, okay, everyone. Shocking news. Irrational Games is making a new game.
That's pretty... How many games have they made?
Well, one, because it's only the first game they made, so they're Irrational.
Wait, they made one? That's not true. Rest Irrational making a new game is a big deal.
We knew they were making a new game.
Okay. Oh, my God. I'm going to strangle you next.
Brother, where was I?
What's Project Icarus? Next.
You threw me off. That wasn't what I was about to talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, right. Anyway, shut up. EA has made a great announcement. They're being very generous, too. They've announced that NBA Jam is coming to the 360 and PS3, and if you buy it, you get NBA Elite 11 for free.
Huzzah. That's not what it is at all. You can't play it unless you buy NBA Elite.
That's the joke. Like, I'd rather buy NBA Jam than buy NBA Elite. Get it?
I get it.
Uh-huh.
I got it now.
Okay.
So you're saying that NBA Jam is a $60 game?
Well, no, it's actually probably not. Especially, well,
but if you're in this theory.
Well, this is what sucks. So this version does not have the mode where it's like the single player mode where you play against like old superstars of the NBA from the 90s.
Right.
But it does have multiplayer. Like online multiplayer. So it's like you can get the Wii version and not have online multiplayer, or get this one and not have the story mode or whatever it is. There's like no way to get a complete game of NBA Jam.
Does anybody feel like this is just like completely cashing in the name and it doesn't really look like NBA Jam? It kind of looks more like Showtime or something to me.
No. I played NBA Jam. It's totally I played at E3. It's totally NBA Jam.
It is?
Is
Bill Clinton in it?
No, Bill Clinton's not in it, but it feels exactly like NBA Jam. The motion controls actually worked really good for it. It felt great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear.
Me too.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's actually like one of my big surprises on the show floor.
Okay, as if you needed more incentive to not subscribe to PlayStation Plus, they're now updating it bi-weekly instead of weekly. That didn't take long.
So they're already reneging on like their basic outline for the service?
Yeah, now here's the other thing. I'm confused about this, because this is the most convoluted service ever. I don't understand it at all. On like the week's list of all the new stuff that went up, there's also the list of stuff being removed. Now, I'm assuming this means if you like subscribe today, you no longer get this stuff as a subscriber. But if you already were a subscriber, you still do. Like, a lot of it was sales on things, but then there were like some PSP minis that you got for free. I don't know if that means they take it away from you, even if you had it, or if it just means as a new subscriber, you don't get access to it. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway. Better news. Torchlight 2 announced. Huzzah.
Yeah,
it's gonna have a 2-day player online co-op.
Yeah, but
not an MMO.
The
MMO is another project that they're still working on.
You got the shadow of Diablo 3 looming pretty closely at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, they built up a lot of goodwill with Torchlight. People really like that game.
Plus, Torchlight has like a lighter tone to it. I found it more approachable than Diablo. I've never been a Diablo guy, and I actually got into Torchlight.
But the lighter tone, though, kind of makes. The lighter tone, and a lot of times these games with lighter tones, it just kind of makes all the dialogue irrelevant to me, so that I kind of can't even, I don't bother with it. Like when I get to the like when I get a quest in Torchlight, and the guy's like explaining what the quest is about, I just kind of scour through it and like, what's the objective here? Almost like as if I was playing World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Like whereas you know in Diablo, it's like, oh yeah, sweet, tell me what's
Deckard
happening.
Deckard Cain's telling me something.
Right, you know. It loses a bit of its grandioseness.
I don't think that's what they're going for. I think they're pretty content with just being a very playable, enjoyable hack and slash.
I'm sure, but I'm just saying I always prefer, you know, maybe being grandiose at the expense of being a little pretentious than just kind of like, this is all kind of silly and good fun. You're fighting meow magicians. It's the Dragon Quest versus Final Fantasy thing.
Yes, I'm excited to get into that with you later.
To be fair, even odds on which one comes out first, though.
Yeah, Torchlight 2 will probably come out first.
I think Torchlight 2 probably will come out first, to be honest. So, actually, didn't they announce a date with it already?
Fall 2011.
Is there any more specifics? Are they adding any new characters?
Yeah, there's new classes, and they've got some art and stuff up. This was like the initial kind of like coming out party for it, and you know we'll be finding out more as time goes on.
Fair enough.
Yes. Now this is actually really cool. Pokemon Black and White, when you're playing the main quest, will only have new Pokemon in it. So not until you've beaten the main quest will you even start seeing the quote-unquote classic Pokemon.
That's what Ruby and Sapphire did.
Did it entirely, though?
Pretty much, yeah. There was only new. Pretty much, there was only a new Pokemon in it, if I remember correctly.
I thought there was a small number of new Pokemon too in this one.
I don't know, but like, I just like that because, you know, you do get that sense. I mean, granted, I know Gold and Silver are remakes, but still, it's like, even with Pearl and Diamond, I just felt like, you know, okay, I don't know what this guy does, but oh, look, a Pikachu. I know exactly how to use a Pikachu, so I'm just going to do that. And then it does feel like you're playing the same game over and over because you have the same characters. So at least this kind of forces you to try something new and maybe find new favorite Pokemon to use.
Maybe. Like I said, I'm pretty sure they did this with Ruby and Sapphire, and it was kind of nice, but at the same time, a lot of Ruby and Sapphire Pokemon just aren't memorable to me the same way as if, you know, right. I saw a Pikachu or something.
I feel like they need to do something more fundamental to the series than that, but, you know, the numbers don't really agree with me, so...
Right, that's the problem.
Hey, I still like you, Pokemon.
So the latest iOS beta has come out, and interestingly, they've removed the Game Center portion of iOS from the iPhone 3G and the second generation iPod Touches.
Oh, boo-hoo.
I don't own an Apple product.
All right. I don't know what you're talking about.
Game Center is basically Apple's take on Xbox Live. Friends list, okay. Achievements, persistence across games. Okay. It was in the previous beta in the 3G and the second gen Touch, but I'm assuming it's because they've decided it doesn't perform well enough. But still, it just seems like ever since iOS 4 has come out, there's been like most of it doesn't work with an iPhone 3G like at all. They're trying to push people to upgrade, I guess.
Is it going to become mandatory for older games to retroactively include features with this, and B, new games will be required to have it?
Now, as far as I know, it's still opt-in.
Okay.
But Apple's doing everything they can to make it easy and attractive to developers. Like, there's no reason to not use it, basically.
Okay.
And let's see. The final thing I have here. So Blizzard has decided to moderate inappropriate StarCraft II maps, which seems fine, except it's caused a strange stir of controversy because I guess the argument for this, and I think it's pretty flimsy at best, but you can't save anything locally when you're modding in StarCraft II. It's all stored on Blizzard servers. So, like, if you're working on something that, for whatever reason, they do deem inappropriate, even if you disagree and they just delete it, you've now lost it. It's gone.
The problem with this is that they're not explaining why they're deleting maps. The controversy really broke up because a map got deleted, some mod that was popular, and no one has any idea why it was deleted. And, like, they won't tell them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing wrong.
They didn't, like, organize buildings into the shape of a penis or anything like that. Explicit right. Like that. It's just completely inscrutable about, like, okay, so if you're going to exercise this sort of control over us, can we at least have some guidelines? Or
right. They've kind of vaguely said it is, like, you know, obscene stuff, copyright infringement, things like that.
See, that's
but yeah,
what kind
like,
of hurt. That's what kind of ruined Little Big Planet, modding stuff. Was like, you know, the copyright stuff was kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know, I liked the Batman level and the God of War level, you know?
Yeah, again, it's that whole thing. Like, no one's suing crayon companies because kids are drawing Marvel comic characters with them.
Exactly. Well, that's the problem with these, like, create whatever you want things. Well, a lot of people want to emulate things. That's just the way it is.
Well, and that's how you learn, too. You emulate what you know, and then you deviate off into your own style eventually. I mean, talk to almost any comic artist, and they'll tell you they start from a base of inspiration, and then their work evolves. I mean, Scott Kurtz did it, Mike Krahulik did it. You know, that's how it just kind of goes. Now, of course, their argument is, well, this is on our servers, so we're responsible for it, and if these people come complaining, then, you know, we get in trouble. And to that, I almost want to say to, like, you know, the companies who are complaining about it, just get over yourselves. It's fine. No one's, like, not going to not buy, like, the Iron Man 2 video game because there was an Iron Man level in Little Big Planet. It's not, right. Like, taking sales away.
Not only that, I think it's proper procedure to send out a cease and desist before any, like, legal action or seeking of punitive damages happens. Like, so
right.
if you know, Disney's like, take out that Mickey level, then just fucking take it out.
And be upfront about it, too. Yeah. Say, look, we got a cease and desist from Disney, so we're taking this out, sorry.
Yeah. Right, put it to the point where, like, they have to moderate each level to the point where these companies won't even deal with it. My problem is just the way some people report this thing. They everyone takes Blizzard's side on this, which is just kind of annoying. Just so much in the fact that people were reporting and taking a side, I guess. But either way, Blizzard needs to watch out because they've been battling their own community.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
With
this and
Real ID, there's not a lot of goodwill going on there.
Yeah, it's really strange. Now's not the time to start fucking around, I would think.
Right. They need to do something to help. I don't know. But there's been a lot of kind of infighting there.
It's weird, and, like, too, that this sort of schism with the community has only happened, you know, well, not only since it happened a while ago, but since Activision came into the picture. Like, Blizzard used to seem very much about, like, catering to their core and, you know, fostering a sense of community, having in-game references to other Blizzard products and exclusively or interchangeably throughout all of the other Blizzard products. And now there seems to be this sort of rive that's forming between the community and Blizzard, which is odd to me.
I think it's just, maybe not so much the Activision thing. I know that would be kind of like the popular thing to go to because, you know, Activision isn't exactly popular and they don't really have a whole lot of goodwill with the core gamer right now. But Blizzard's just a lot bigger than it is right now. And it's kind of hard to keep that intimate relationship with your community when you're just a huge, huge company now. Mm-hmm. Do they even, like, have a community manager right now?
They have a bunch of them.
See, that's the problem, though. They have a bunch of them.
That sounds
like
the worst job in the world.
Right.
Yeah, I would not want that job.
And, I mean, you know, to be fair, I'm sure their community is, you know, very much high-strung and likes to get mad at Blizzard about the slightest change to a shaman talent tree, but...
Right, and they do.
Yeah, exactly. But you gotta do something to mend that relationship a bit. All right, anything else?
One last thing I wanted to throw in. So, you know the complicated EverQuest 2 free-to-play subscription thing I was talking about last
week? Yeah, when you were talking about PlayStation Plus, you said, this is the most complicated system I've ever heard of, and I was about to say, like, well, on... Was it the last episode?
Yeah, it was last week.
I listened to you try and explain that crap, and I was like...
Yeah, they're both from Sony. Anyway, there is one thing I missed that I did want to amend.
Oh, great.
If you decide you want to take your... Because I said how the regular box copies of EverQuest are on separate servers from the free service. If you want to transfer your character from the box copies to the free service for whatever reason, you have to pay $35 to do so.
So they're really just nickel and diming people.
Oh, they are. It's more than nickels and dimes. It's like tens and fifteens.
It just they've found innovative ways to, like, you know, milk the teat, as it were. I don't. Hey.
I still think it's fascinating to remember that EverQuest 2 and World of Warcraft came out around the same time. There was like this big, like, who's gonna win thing. Oh, wonder how that ended up.
Vastly different business models too. Oh, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay, right. I'm done.
All right, we got a quiz here. Actually, an old quiz. You failed it before, AJ, probably like years ago. Let's see how you do now.
So you just brought out a classic quiz?
Yes, this is a classic quiz.
This is also known as Mike was really prepared this week.
Laziness? Ah.
You know, I could have just not said it. You probably wouldn't have even noticed.
That's possibly true.
All right, here we go. Five questions. First one. Name the fictional land in which Golden Axe takes place.
Oh, fuck.
Well, hey, you had it before. You should know.
Do you know, James?
I only ever played Golden Axe, maybe at the bowling alley.
Yeah, I'll call it Golden Axia.
Uria.
Azerothia.
Yeah. Answer was Uria. Next. And what level in DuckTales is the final boss fought in?
The moon?
The moon?
Transylvania.
Damn it, that's right. It's Magic of the Spell. We had this exact same conversation last time.
Yes. Clearly you don't learn, though. What was the original name for Quest for Glory?
What's Quest for
Got
Glory?
Got me. I don't even know what that is.
The
Quest for Glory.
Quest?
Adventure game, RPG hybrid by Sierra Games.
Sage
would kill you right now, AJ. He would murder you with an axe.
I know. I don't know. What is
it? Big old Canadian axe. Heroes Quest.
Okay.
I want to see how many points you get from this quiz that you've had before, and I'm lazy for pulling up. Let's see.
I played the Hero Quest board game when I was a kid.
Quiet.
I wonder if they're related.
All right. This one's easy enough. What is the name of the villain from Zero Wing?
Oh, Praetor Katz.
Okay, good enough. In the logo for Mother, the O in Mother is replaced with a what?
Wait, you cut out. Is what?
Okay, the O in Mother is replaced with a what? So what is used to represent the O in the Mother logo?
It's like Earth and silver.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's like Earth and metal.
I had the Moon, but I think it was the Earth maybe once also. So yeah, I'll take it.
All right.
Bonus question. Let's see if you can get 3 points out of this. We all remember that Alucard made his first appearance in Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. But what was the name of the pirate who could climb on walls and was also a playable character in that game? All right.
Sweet.
Andrew would not have known that.
Nope.
So you did better this time than last time.
Yay.
All right, guys. It's time for either or.
All right.
Let's go over some
grammars. I'm so good at this game.
You actually do usually win this game, AJ. Because you always dominate the lightning round.
Mm.
Just dominate it. You also kind of like know how to appease me. Here's what's going on. I got 10 topics here. I got 2 options. You pick one or the other, and I give points. at the end, there's a 5-question lightning round where speed is a factor. I'll cover that when we get there, though. We'll start with AJ. All right, AJ. Summer of Arcade this year. Has it been good or underwhelming?
It's a little underwhelming. I have not had the compulsion to buy all these games day and date like I did in previous years. Hydro Thunder is a game I kind of want, but I don't need it right now. Limbo, I've been meaning to get that. I've just haven't had time for that yet. What was the one that came
Castlevania?
That game, I saw that when they showed E3. It did nothing for me. I was like, okay. It's basically a Game Boy Advance game zoomed out so the pixels don't look pixelated, and it's all reused. It looks honestly like something like a fan put together ROM hack. Lara Croft, whatever. And what's the other ones coming? I don't even know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's just, especially too that they're all $15. It's one, like, I don't mind arcade games being $15 on, you know. If it's worth $15, it's worth $15. Just none of these are particularly felt worth $15, and especially not buying 5 of them.
I'm surprised Hydro Thunder's $15.
Yeah, like Hydro Thunder probably should have been 10. Castlevania definitely should have been 10. Limbo probably should have been 10. I don't know. It's hard to say with that one, I guess. I don't know. Like, you know, because they do that thing. If you buy all of them, then you get $15 in points back as credit. And that was like a nice incentive last year, but like I just don't have any compulsion to do it.
James?
Well, since you didn't remember one of them and I'm trying to score points here, I'm going to go with underwhelming. Also, I've completed Limbo and I was super upset with how short that game was. I beat it in about 90 minutes, which I understand is a bit of an aberration from the reviews I've read, but that was the only game out of all of them that I cared about, and even that one left me sort of wanting, so I'm going to go with underwhelming.
James gets the point for actually buying at least one of the games from this year.
Yeah.
None of them were better than... Well, what, last year you had Explosion Man, Trials.
Explosion Man's awesome.
Yeah, Explosion Man's great. Trials HD was great. A lot of people didn't like the new Turtles in Time. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
See, all the games last year had
Shadow
huge
Complex.
Word of mouth buzz.
Shadow
like they came out and like that's yeah. All Twitter was people talking about that week's arcade game. That has not happened this year, like at all.
No. And go ahead.
If you're going to compare, like here's a comparison for you: Turtles in Time versus Hydro Thunder. Both of them are like, you know, somewhat well regarded. You know, maybe
arcade
some
classics.
Nostalgia there, but I think Turtles in Time is just like far and away more recognizable. Regardless of the overall quality, I mean, that's what they're banking on with both of these games, right? And I just think, like,
yeah.
Hydro Thunder's like a game some people sometimes saw in an arcade, and then they put it on Dreamcast.
That's fair enough. I still like the first one best that had, Braid and Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Mm. Yeah, those are good games.
Oh, man.
Geo Wars 2.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, James, the StarCraft II campaign, we've been hearing some praise and we've been hearing some complaints about it, so the campaign as a whole, fair or foul?
I haven't played StarCraft, so...
You know, that's not a good way to get points here, James. You never admit these things. You always fudge it.
Well, I recently read an article about all of the sort of extracurricular references in it, and I like that. And apparently there was a Lost Vikings reference. So I'm going to go fair.
AJ, I think you might be closing in on this one.
Yeah.
Let's see what you
I'll
got.
I'll go fair as well. I'm trying to remember where I heard it put this way. It was on Weekend Confirm. But they were saying how this game kind of shares a similar quality to Mario Galaxy, where it has its very defined set of mechanics, and for the most part, they're familiar classic mechanics, but they have a great way of twisting them mission to mission, so you're always doing something fresh and new, and you don't get bored with it. And it's just, like I said, there's nothing that technically could have been done in the original StarCraft, like as far as mechanics and technology goes, but it's just like the clarity of design in this game is so strong, and it's so much fun to play, even though it really isn't groundbreaking in how it's played.
Can I just interject one thing? I would point out that StarCraft II, if you really think about it, probably has had the longest playtest in history. The most longest, most exhaustive playtest in history.
Well, so right after Daikatana, maybe.
So it's, I mean, you know, with the Korean market, what it is, I mean, they probably have plenty of data, so I'm glad to hear that they, you know, hit a home run with it. Or at least you think so.
Hmm. Point goes to AJ.
Yay.
All right, AJ. Torchlight 2. Mm-hmm. Exciting announcement or...
I think exciting announcement. Especially because we all know they are doing the Torchlight MMO. But it's cool to hear there's going to be, like, another just, like, smaller scale Torchlight that does have, like, just normal online to it. Again, like I was saying before, even if you are going to put this up against Diablo 3, you have to keep in mind, too, it's probably going to come out at $20. It'll be super scalable. I mean, Torchlight has a netbook mode, so it'll play on anything at all. And it is just a good, fun game, especially now that you can just get in there with your friends and just, you know, go loot whoring.
James?
I really liked the first Torchlight. It was the first sort of loot whoring game that I've ever really played. I tried WoW for maybe I took a mage to like 28, and Torchlight was the first loot whoring game that really sucked me in, so I'm definitely going to say, you know, hooray for Torchlight 2. And also, I like that Torchlight came out, and the pet retrieval system, I guarantee you're going to see something similar to that in Diablo 3. And so if Torchlight 2 can come out and sell a bajillion copies, like, not bajillion, but, you know, I mean, do well for an indie game, like, I think that's a big deal. So I'm also going to say hooray for Torchlight 2.
It's hard when you guys agree with each other. Point AJ, James indicated something negative about World of Warcraft.
I gotta remember who's conducting the game.
Yeah, see?
All right, James. NBA Jam for Wii or high def systems, but with NBA Elite 11 only?
Well, I guess the flagship is the Wii, so I'm going to have to go with NBA for the Wii. I generally try and when I purchase games, I want to get the definitive experience, and I feel like if it was designed for Wii and the motion controls were part of the experience, and also since, you know, this is sort of a weird angle, but since it's a game that nods to older games, maybe it doesn't necessarily, you know, need to be packaged with a high-definition game. So I'm going to go with NBA Jam for the Wii.
AJ.
I'm going to go 360 PS3. I personally care much more about having online play than I do about being able to play Magic Johnson in the game. And I know you said the motion controls work pretty well, but again, I don't think it's anything I'm going to really miss. Plus, I mean, if you think about it, it's $50 on the Wii or $60 you get NBA Elite and this. And from, you know, what they're saying, they've really put a lot of effort into revamping their NBA franchise. If it ends up being good, that's just, you know, icing on the cake for me.
Point goes to James. AJ, can you name even one more NBA legend besides Magic Johnson that would be in this game?
Isn't Jordan in it?
No, he's an NBA Elite.
Oh, that's
remember,
right.
Jordan was never in NBA Jam.
I know, that's why I thought, okay. Well, you got Larry Bird's in there. Who else they say is in it? I don't even know.
Bird was good. But still, you disrespected the legends, so point goes to James.
Yeah.
When's the high-def remake of Barkley Ship and Jam coming out?
In your dreams.
Yes, honestly.
Right after the Shaq Fu update comes out.
I'm going to bundle them together. All right, AJ. Blizzard or the Blizzard community? Take a side.
Like, as a whole, or are you thinking one particular issue?
All right, on the map issue, the StarCraft II issue.
The map issue. I'll go Blizzard community. I respect Blizzard's right to control what content is on their servers. I just feel like if you're going to do that, you need to be open about it and explain why something's being taken down, or even better, because, like, this stuff is only stored on their server, and if someone's working on something, they lose it. Give them a warning. Say, you know, this is not conforming to our standards this way, this way, and this way. You know, if in 2 weeks it still is offending, then we're going to take it down. So, like, if it is something like, I don't know, you use too much Final Fantasy in your RPG mod, you can change it.
James.
If it's on the map side, I have to agree with AJ. I think notification is the only thing that's required to circumvent any sort of IP violations that might happen. You can definitely send an email or talk to them on the message boards or contact. I mean, they have a very robust community, so I'm sure they have multiple ways, you know, through Battle.net that they can contact them and tell them precisely what's wrong with their maps. Have, instead of just deleting them and taking, because they're on some cloud server somewhere, just telling them how they could rework their map. Like, if they want to make homage to a Mario game and they make like a mushroom shaped map or whatever, they, you know, you can, and it's somehow balanced and people like to play it, then just tell them to take the mushroom out, you know, just reconfigure a few things here and there. And I have to side with the community on that one. I think Blizzard as a corporation is just covering its own ass and not really thinking about its fans.
All right, nice argument, James. I liked it much better the first time I heard it. Point to AJ. All right. James, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, care or don't care?
Don't care. Don't really know a whole lot about the game. I saw its art style. I guess it's a lot like movies in The Dark Knight. We're sort of living in a post-Arkham Asylum world. So I feel like the comic book franchise game, the bar has been set pretty high. And from what I've seen of Spider-Man, it doesn't really look that appealing to me as, you know, a core gamer. And I don't really see it appealing to other gamers who, you know, maybe have a more casual poise. So I'm going to say don't care.
AJ?
I'll say I care insofar as I want to see if it's good, because I still hold out hope for a good Spider-Man game. And if it does come out and the reviews say it's shit, then I'll just move on with my life. But if it is good, then that's great. I think it's an interesting hook, getting to see, like, the different Spider-Men. I like how they got, like, actual actors who have played these roles before to do it all, so it seems like they're putting some care into it. You know, best-case scenario, we get a good Spider-Man game. Worst-case scenario, it's just nothing happens.
Point goes to James. I like that bit about living in a post-Arkham Asylum world.
Yeah, I knew he had me beat when he said that. I was like, shit.
That's a good one. All right, AJ. Guillermo del Toro's big announcement that he's going to make video games. Big deal or no big deal?
It's the only thing that I think makes it... Okay, here's the thing. Guillermo del Toro is a master of design and making really cool, interesting worlds to explore. But the other thing that makes his movies so good, in my opinion, is his reliance on practical effects and puppetry and makeup and not on CG. And by virtue of making a video game, you lose that. So you've already stripped away half of what makes him a talented filmmaker. So unless he creates one hell of an amazing world somehow, I don't think it's really taking full advantage of what he brings to the table. They did announce it is a deal with THQ, so like this is like, you know, for sure happening and everything. And you know, THQ's track record, you know, that's questionable at best. So, you know, I'm curious by it, but I don't think it's gonna like change video games or anything.
James.
I agree, but I sort of take it from a different slant of, like, movie directors in general jumping into this crap. Peter Jackson was, like, all into the King Kong game production design, but, you know, reviewed fairly well. Then there was the Halo connection, and, you know, Steven Spielberg's constantly saying how he wants to get more into games, and Boom Blocks is a good game, but how much did Steven Spielberg really have to do with that? At this point, when I see movie directors, Guillermo del Toro or whomever, jumping into the game space, I really think it's just them trying to like get their pulse on this medium that has eclipsed their own, and they're really just, I think, blowing smoke up our ass. I don't really care, you know, what film director, my favorite, Stanley Kubrick could come back from the dead and tell me he wanted to make a video game, and I still wouldn't give a shit, so whatever.
Point goes to James. I was looking for that whole Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg have already said this, nothing really came of it thing. All right, James. Tony Hawk Shred. Has a chance or no chance in hell?
No chance in hell. This franchise hasn't had a chance. It's fun to, you know, like jump on Tony Hawk Ride or even Downhill Jam. But really, the franchise was dead in the water long before that. This franchise hasn't been relevant since maybe Tony Hawk 4, if I'm really, you know, maybe Thug, if I'm really being generous. I don't think there's much. I also feel like the tidal wave of skateboarding, you know, all the kids, you know, in the early 2000s were, like, getting into skateboarding because of Tony Hawk. I think that tidal wave is far past. I think something like UFC or something like that is sort of the new equivalent to Tony Hawk, the thing that, like, a lot of people are really into, and they want to see as much verisimilitude in their games as they can for that particular sport. But I don't think people really care about skateboarding anymore, so whatever.
AJ.
Yeah, here's the thing. No one, I don't think, particularly complained about the fundamental design of Tony Hawk Ride. Everyone's complaint was with that skateboard peripheral and how it basically didn't work. And this is just another game using that peripheral. Like, I don't see what they could do to make that thing a better experience. So this is already dead in the water, just by virtue of using the skateboard. Unless it, like, has an option to also be played with a controller. Like, it's already doomed to fail.
Two good arguments, points for each.
Yay.
Although when I write that out, you know, the A for AJ and the J for James, it just says AJ. Yes.
So it works out.
Yeah. All right, AJ. Fallout New Vegas will be better or worse than Fallout 3?
I don't think it'll be as good as Fallout 3, but it'll still be good. You know what I mean? I mean, Fallout 3...
No, I don't. Explain to me.
I'm about to. Fallout 3 was, as I've made very plainly known in the show, like one of my favorite games. I freaking loved it. And this is, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's an expansion pack. Same technology, a lot of the same art assets, in a whole new city with some new stuff going on. So it'll be good. But the whole time you're playing it, you're going to be comparing it to Fallout 3 in your head. And you're not going to be comparing it to Fallout 3. You're going to be comparing it to your nostalgic memory of Fallout 3. So it's going to have a hard time competing with that, but I'll still enjoy it. Like I'm excited to see a Fallout game that's set in like a quote-unquote working city. Like, that's really something that's never been done in the franchise before, so it'll be neat to see if they play with that at all. And, you know, I'm excited to just get back in that game world and everything. So it'll be good, but not as good.
James.
It's a... New Vegas is a weird beast, because it has some, you know, some of the people who sort of defined what Fallout is working on it, but it's a new direction for the series. So while I don't want to say that I think New Vegas will be a better game than Fallout 3, I think, you know, when you get down to the granular aspects of, like, gameplay, I think it's going to be a pretty similar experience. But what I'm excited for in New Vegas is, because I like the original Fallouts more than Fallout 3, and I feel like the Wasteland, as great as a setting as it is, I feel like it's getting kind of tired. And even though they're reusing art assets, like AJ indicated, I feel like the new aesthetic that, you know, sort of a neon metropolis could bring to the Fallout series is, like, a really interesting opportunity. So I want to say I'd give the edge to New Vegas just as a prospect.
Point, AJ.
Yes.
All right. Little Big Planet 2, James. Will it be a Game of the Year candidate or not?
For me, it'll never be a Game of the Year candidate because I hate Little Big Planet's controls, and that's not what I'm expecting them to revamp in the second one. They've already talked about making, like, longer, like, multi-stage campaigns, sort of like maybe coming up with a platformer with a story, and that's all fine. And I really like how, like, expansive they've made their UI, or accessible they've made their UI, and expansive they made their encyclopedia of items. But it's never going to change. Like, swing on those little, like, you know, dangling plug things that you swing, like, that just doesn't feel good. Jumping, moving between the multiple planes, they're not, I'm fairly certain they're not going to change any of that, so it's not going to be appealing to me. And I think what really needs to happen, a little big plan to take it over the top, is they need to get back and really work on the fundamentals of the gameplay. So I don't think a Game of the Year competitor, no.
AJ.
Oh, I know what Mike's already thinking. Aren't they letting you make, like, programmable physics, so to speak, in the game so you can make a jump feel like Mario's jump?
You know, I hate pandering, AJ. You're pandering.
Okay. Anyway, well, there's that aspect. So, Yeah. I don't know. I think it'll probably do just as well as Little Big Planet 1 did. It's just that issue. Like, I think like the Super Scribblenauts faces this too. You're still selling the concept, and it's still the same concept as it was in the first game. It's just bigger. And people bought the concept before. And if they bought it before, they'll buy it again. If they didn't buy it the first time, you're probably not going to be able to do much to convince them the second time around. It'll be better for the people who like Little Big Planet, and it might bring a few new people in, but nothing. It's not going to be a Game of the Year contender, especially after things that we've seen this year. It's not going to happen.
No points to no one. Why are you two hating on Little Big Planet 2? It looks amazing! No.
I'm going to like it. I said I'm going to like it. I just
As like an avid Mario fan, how can you defend it?
How can I defend it? It looks great. I have no bias here, man. This is the no-bias zone. I think it looks
great. No points
for
us.
No points. You guys are tied right now going into the lightning round.
Oh, man.
Here's how the lightning round works. I got five things here, okay? You got to pick one or the other. No turns. Say it as fast as you can. Speed counts in the lightning round. It's not the only thing that counts, but it counts. And we don't stop in between questions. We just go to the end. Don't spend too much time thinking about it, or you'll be burned. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right. As soon as I ask the first question, we go. Zerg or Protoss?
Protoss.
Zerg.
Yellowtron or Bluetron?
Bluetron.
Blue.
Civ 4 or Civ Rev?
Civ Rev.
Civ 4.
Sega CD or Sega 32X?
Sega CD.
Sega CD.
Jack or John Marston?
John Marston.
John Marston.
Man, another clean sweep for AJ on the lightning round.
Yes!
AJ dominates the lightning round. You got reflexes, AJ, I'll say that.
I know.
It was a good showing, James, until the lightning round, I have to say. Fell apart a little bit there. Oh. Although AJ always has an unfair advantage in the lightning round because he knows what appeases me more.
It helps.
And I think a lot of people just wait to see what AJ say and then say the opposite and go for that strategy. Never works. Never works. All right.
I'm happy to let him have it because he failed the same quiz twice, so.
I appreciate that.
When have you lost either war? Well, I think you used to lose it all the time back when the scoring was arbitrary.
Yeah. Now that it's a little more structured.
Oh, yeah, like whose line is it anyway or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
30 points.
That's basically it.
That's it. That's what I used to do.
In fact, I'm saying there's familial bias here. I call shenanigans.
Yeah, well,
everyone
whatever.
Always does.
Report me to the board. All right.
Wouldn't you comprise the board of either or?
Exactly. Do you have a complaint?
No. Sorry.
Good. That's what I thought. All right, guys. Our week in gaming. Time to talk
Indeed.
About those games.
Let's hear
Yay.
It.
I don't think anything new or exciting came out that anyone played, right? So can I go?
No, I have one thing.
I wanted to talk about Dragon Quest IX. Do you think?
Yeah, go. Let's do the Dragon Quest IX. I want to do this.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Well, I felt bad last week because I really... Look, I ultimately like Dragon Quest IX, but when I suddenly was on the spot last week and I had to say what I liked about it, I had a very hard time thinking about or, like, articulating what I liked about it. It's hard, and there's just a lot... When you think about it, there's a lot of things that are wrong with it. And here's my basic problem with Dragon Quest IX, though, why I don't think it's really maybe as great as some people say it is, though. It's... Now, AJ knows this. There's this sports talk guy named Colin Cowherd. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite like rants he ever did was he was comparing the New York Mets to the New York Yankees. And his argument was the New York Yankees are, you know, they're very kind of regal and they're grandiose and
a little pompous.
You know, it's pompous, but you know, it works. It's
dynastic.
Right. Yeah, sure. You know, whatever. It's like, and then you go to the Mets and it's kind of like the state fair vibe, like, well, like, ride the donkey, throw the ball in the clown's mouth, Pedro pitching night, you know? That's kind of what Dragon Quest is for me. Like, everything is kind of silly. I'm fighting meow magicians, and they're basically giant cats in robes with a staff. And, like,
it
all
looks
the,
like Dragon Ball.
Yeah, everything looks like Dragon Ball, but with chibi characters. You know, and, you know, the plots, like, it's kind of an episodic plot, and the plot's always like, hero, the Black Knight is terrorizing our city. Will you please help us? Like, what will we, you know, and it's like, okay, I guess I'm on a quest, you know? And And, you know, Final Fantasy, I understand people kind of get sick. It's a little pompous. It's a little melodramatic. But at least there's a sense of, like, importance there, maybe. You know what I mean?
Weight.
You feel me there, AJ?
There's some gravitas.
There's some weight to it. Whereas in Dragon Quest, it's just, we're all smiling all the time. And you're like, you died. Whatever. It's fine. Go pray. You'll be better.
Sounds eerily similar to how you talked about Torchlight and Diablo.
Yes, that's kind of what I was thinking there, and it is kind of like that. It is sort of like, but the thing that's weird about Dragon Quest is Dragon Quest is not like some small series or something, you know. At least in Japan, It has money behind it. It's just this is like the direction they've chosen to go with.
Am I incorrect when I say it's more popular than Final Fantasy in Japan?
I believe so.
Yeah, right now, very well, maybe.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Especially on the DS. The DS is like the leading SKU of everything ever in Japan.
Right. Even the PSP does really well in Japan. They have a huge portable games market there.
It's weird because I feel like in America people are like, why are they putting Dragon Quest IX on the DS? And I think in Japan that makes total sense. But
a lot of people in Japan were upset too, I think, but they got over it. Whatever. I think at the end of the day they can be just as big graphic whores as we are sometimes. Mm-hmm. But... No, but no, see, I do like Dragon Quest IX. It is fun to play. Just the fact that it has solid RPG mechanics and I can play it on a portable system, so like you can kind of grind while doing other things, it's kind of a big help.
Something to do while you're on, you know, Transport Mountain World of Warcraft.
Right, exactly, yeah. Like, all
see,
right.
This is why I'm glad I have you as a filter, because the way people talk about this game on Twitter... See, this is the thing, everyone. I know like I've made it sound like I don't like JRPGs. I want to like JRPGs.
You're still kind of a jerk about JRPGs, AJ.
I know, but I want to like them. If there's a good one, I will
there
be happy.
There have been good ones. You don't play them.
Play Chrono Trigger.
I love Chrono Trigger.
He doesn't like... Oh, okay. He's one of those guys who hasn't liked a JRPG since, like, Final Fantasy VI. Or Chrono Trigger, okay. I guess.
He's like, I only liked them when they were pixels. But here's the thing. I mean, like, hearing everyone, I was like, oh, maybe this will be one that I like. And then you're like, just... Trust me, don't get this. You won't like it.
Wait, this one? What are we talking about?
Because that's the thing. No one talks about Meow Magicians.
Yeah, that's
all the bullshit.
That's kind of true.
Everyone online is talking about like how like great the combat system is and how they like customizing their characters. I'm like, I like combat and customization. Maybe I'll like this game. And you're like, no, there's Meow Magicians and you defend the village against the Dark Knight, but everyone's smiling.
Like, that's kind of like when you make your character, one of the things you choose is like your facial expression, and you know, you're stuck with that the whole time, so something very sad will be happening, and your character will be standing there with a stupid grin on his face.
See, I hate that. I hate that. God, I hate that.
Like, I'm like, really? You can't, like, my character can't have multiple facial expressions?
Yeah, they
even?
Couldn't
or
animate
at least
the face.
At least three.
Yeah, like, I can't have a sad face. I can't have a sad... I can't draw
can we at least do happy and sad?
Yes.
That's
can
all.
I, two emotions. Well, the one thing that I really don't like, I said this last week, is the fact that your party members are just non-existent in anything but combat. They are never acknowledged by anyone. They're not in cutscenes. Like, they're just there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's nice that you can kind of build them from scratch like that, I guess, but it's just, you know, like, it's just the other thing. Like, it really does feel like a JRPG where... It's weird because the story obviously isn't very important, but yet there's a lot of it. If that makes any sense. Or at least, you know, like... Final Fantasy 13, okay, there's a lot of story, but at least that's kind of the point, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's there because it kind of needs to be. In this one, like, they're, like, telling me that the story's not important just to go with it anyways, but I don't know why they're bothering with so much of it then. If that makes any sense. But no, right. See, but once again, I'm doing it this week. I ultimately like Dragon Quest IX, but there's just so much kind of that grinds my gears about it. Grinds my gears.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is that a colloquialism? Grinds my gears?
I think it was on Family Guy.
Oh, okay.
Grinds my gears. Meow Magicians. Like, really? Like, and some of these... I'm sorry. Some of the enemy designs are just flat-out retarded. They're just flat-out retarded. There was, like, a vulture-slug hybrid. And it was about
that sounds
dumbest.
Kind of awesome.
No. And it was called a chimera. Why, that's not a chimera.
I think it's chimera.
Chimera?
Okay, yeah, Chimera. It's not Chimera, really? Okay, Chimera. So it's called a Chimera. I was like, this is not a Chimera. It's different. I don't understand why Final Fantasy 13 was evil and why this is like the greatest thing since sliced bread. I guess I don't get that. Maybe that's my ultimate problem.
Why don't you like slug vultures, but you like Pokemon? I could see Slulcher being a Pokemon.
Slulcher.
Pokemon never pretends that the story is important the way Dragon Quest kind of does.
Yeah, that's true.
If that makes sense. And plus, Pokemon, it's not just grinding. There's a lot more to... Pokemon has a lot... Pokemon's appeal is very unique. Let's say that.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know,
as a person who likes Pokemon.
And once again, I played Pokemon for the first time when I was 12. Maybe if I played Dragon Quest for the first time since I was 12, I would think that, like, Meow Magician is an awesome nod to the past and it's super nostalgic and awesome. But as somebody who has not played Dragon Quest and is coming in right now, I'm telling you guys who might think that Meow Magician is awesome, it is not. I am sorry.
Well,
guys.
I don't think playing any earlier would have helped you. I played Dragon Warrior when I was like 1, and ever since then, I tried 7 on the PlayStation. I just cannot. It's impenetrable to me. I don't get it. Doesn't make it. I don't want to play a game for 130 goddamn hours. It's just not for me.
Here's the ultimate problem. If you make an old school kind of JRPG like this to me, I'm going to kind of compare it to the classic, like the absolute classic JRPGs. And all of a sudden, I have to stack up Dragon Quest IX to, like, Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger. And then it's like, well, how does it compare to those? You know? That's the problem. All right.
Whereas something like Mass Effect is wholly new, and you can approach it almost with, like, a fresh look. Yeah.
Or even something like Final Fantasy XII, you know, or, you know, even, like, Lost Odyssey or something like that. You know, it's different enough. It's not immediately comparable to something like that. Okay, AJ, what's this game you want to talk about?
Alien Swarm.
Oh, goody gosh. All right. Talk about it.
So, oh, did I hear, oh, goody gosh?
Yes, you heard.
Dude,
oh,
you're a douche. This game is sweet.
You take that back.
No.
Oh, go ahead then.
So this is the game that Valve released for free a couple weeks ago. It was an Unreal mod. Now it's a Source Engine game, completely free. It's basically a four-player co-op, kind of like Smash TV style shooter with a swarm of aliens.
I like Smash TV.
Yeah. You know, it does like WASD is move around and you aim the cursor to actually face and shoot. There's the four classes. You know, you have the medic, the technician, and so on and so forth.
Can we pause?
Yes.
Is it joypad compatible? Because if it's a twin stick shooter like Smash TV or any other twin stick shooter, is there an option to not use WASD and the
mouse? No, because it's not really a twin stick shooter. You're just aiming with a cursor. Because there is a difference between where you're looking and shooting in that direction. Because you do want to look where you're going. If that makes sense.
In Smash TV, like, you'd be backing up and shooting in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and you can do that in this. But like the camera actually angles in the direction you're looking as well, so you don't see as far behind you.
It's not a top-down camera.
Right, it's top-down, but it shifts.
Okay. I was imagining, like, straight-up Smash TV.
Right. But I was playing it online with Beige, Pete, and Bully, and we played through the entire campaign. I mean, it's not super long. It's almost... Imagine the length of about 2 Left 4 Dead campaigns, maybe, I'd say. That sounds about right in my head. I could be off. But it's super polished. Like, I was actually kind of struck by how good it looks. They have some great atmospheric effects going on with the fog and the lighting and everything. And, you know, like, when a swarm of aliens comes down on you, it can get creepy at times. It actually works really, really well. A few interesting things the game does. Friendly fire is always on. So you really have to, you know, coordinate with who you're playing with, try to stay out of each other's firing lines, cover different angles and everything like that. And if you die, you're dead until that mission is over and you move on to the next one. So it really ups the stakes really nicely. Beige kept getting killed by I think they're technically called parasites, but everyone calls them facehuggers because that's what they do.
Are they head crabs?
He doesn't.
Kind of. In fact, I got an achievement that unlocked one of these things
Mike doesn't
as
know
a wearable
what aliens
item
is.
In Team Fortress 2.
I know what aliens is. I know what a head hugger is. Okay, I forgot
it's not a called a head hugger.
Face hugger.
Fuck. Shut up, Alien.
Why don't you just watch it at this point, just to get everyone off your back?
I just, you know, whatever. I'll get to it. I saw it at Best Buy for $10 the other day, and I was like, oh, maybe I should do that. Oh, wait, here's Princess Mononoke. I'll get that instead.
People should make fun of you. I wish I hadn't seen it, because it's a treat to watch, and that's still in your future somewhere.
to watch.
It's a delight.
I think I need to do the Bitmob article where I just watch Alien and I like do a review of it.
This has nothing to do with games.
It would still be you'd still love it. It would be the final punchline to this joke that's been going on for a year.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, anyway. National Treasure. I just gotta say, AG, you'll back me up on this. They make fun of me because I like National Treasure. National Treasure is awesome. Thank you.
I love National Treasure.
It's passable.
Oh, shut up, James. It's sweet.
It's okay. Oh. I didn't say it's awful.
I'm condescending, son of a bitch.
No, I'm not. I like it. It's the in the same place as like 2012 and
2012
Independence Day. It's like it's you know all right to watch. Not in the pantheon of great all-time films. Whoa, we're way off topic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, anyway.
That was my fault. I mean,
the game has a leveling mechanic.
Oh, right. The Alias War.
But, yeah, you know, you unlock weapons and items. When you go into each mission, you get to pick your loadout. You get two weapons and a utility item. So it could be like a door welder, so you can weld doors shut behind you so aliens can't come from behind. You could also unlock some shortcuts with it.
Wasn't that in Killing Floor, too? They had that...
I haven't played Killing Floor.
What's a Killing Floor?
Similar kind of thing. It was a first person. It was kind of a Left 4 Dead knockoff.
But it had the one cool thing. Apparently, it had is that you could like barricade doors by like welding them together and stuff, which I thought sounded really cool. Because then you'd have people like covering you, and you're all panicked, and then like some guy doesn't have his weapon out, and he's like trying to weld a door and stuff. So.
Yeah, my guy, I was actually able to carry a turret with me as my second weapon, so we'd get to, like, it kind of is like Left 4 Dead, where, like, you trigger something, and then a swarm will come on you while you're waiting for a door to open, or an elevator, or something like that. So I'd be dropping these turrets down and mowing guys down with that. There's actually an elevator sequence in the game that's really cool, just the way they handle it. Because even though it's on kind of that flat 2D plane, it still plays with 3D space in a lot of neat ways. They also do some cool things to mix it up, like the one time when you got to a swarm encounter like that, I was able to go into a computer console and control a turret from the first-person perspective, so that was kind of neat. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's free, so you may as well go try it. Although, from...
Well, if it's free and as long as two Left 4 Dead campaigns, that there's not... I don't know, it's just funny to me. People complain about the brevity of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, whatever. I think it was Boldy was saying, like, the difference in this playing this with a pickup group and playing it with friends is like night and day, so you might want to try to find three other people to play it with. Otherwise, I mean, I'm sure playing in a pickup group's fine, but, you know, we had that mentality of actual teamwork in the game, so it worked very well for that.
Maybe they can monetize a sequel for it.
That'd be cool. I'd be for that.
Like Days of Yore, like Counter-Strike.
It looks like there is an intention to add more campaigns to it. There's, like, a campaign selector, but there's only one campaign right now. I know, like, part of the big thing about this, too, is they release all the source and the modding tools with it, too, so maybe that's just so the community can make their own campaigns. But, you know, if they release a DLC campaign for, like, $5, I'd be for it.
As long as the community doesn't make anything in the shape of another company's IPs.
Yes, or else Valve will just delete it off your computer. Let's see, there's something else I was going to talk about, and I forgot what it was.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
James, what did you play?
Wait, did we want to talk about StarCraft 2 at all?
What did I play? I played God of War 3, so that's a little past its time.
Do you like it?
I actually was geared up to hate this game so much, just because I read a lot of negative press about sort of the emotional arc of God of War. And then when I jumped in, and that Colossus of Rhodes sequence in God of War 2 is, like, one of my favorite things ever. Mm-hmm. And that happens, like, 9 times in God of War 3.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
After a while, I was just, like, I was like, adrift in the river of God of War, and I just, like, couldn't not like it.
No, that's what I liked about 3, because, like, that was always my problem with the first two games, is, like, the first level was always so good, and the rest of the game, to me, never lived up to it.
Yeah.
Which is why I never finished any of them. But, like, yeah, you're right. Like, God of War 3, like, it just keeps doing that, so it keeps you going.
I have the same thing, though. I think I even said this. I want to hate God of War, but I just can't.
Yeah.
I want to hate
it. I'm right
it
there
so
with
bad.
You. Yeah. But it's not as precise as other character action games, but it just does something. There's something ineffable about what it does. It has its thing. It's like Pokemon, like you were talking about. It has its, like, unique thing that it does that no other game is replicated for me, so I just got caught up in it, and I love it.
Remember how I was saying sometimes a game could be grandiose for the sake of grandiose, and it's kind of a good thing? That's God of War. Like, you can just buy, like, you know, when you're being chased by a Titan and it's playing, you know, this really epic chorus thing, and, you know, it looks pretty.
The bombast is all around you, and yeah.
Yeah, you just, you know, you buy into it. As ridiculous as it is, you can kind of buy into it.
Yeah, that's what I've been playing. That's, other than that, I played some, like, I tried Homeworld, which, whatever.
Oh, I love Homeworld.
Wait, what do you want to say about StarCraft 2? I mean, we like it. We think it's great.
Yeah, well, no, I just want to point out, I got to the first mission of, like, the Protoss mini-campaign that they said would be in the game.
I didn't even know that was going to be in the game, so it's kind of like a nice surprise
for me.
I
did, but I forgot about it, so it was kind of like, oh, yeah, this, when I got to it. But it was really, really cool. Like, I liked what they did with it. I'm just the one mission I played of it so far.
I think I got just a couple missions left in the campaign. So
yeah, but here's my question to you, Mike.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the big hoopla when this game was, you know, being announced was how it was being broken up into three games.
And I criticized them
for
it.
Oh, we're being nickel and dime.
Do you
feel
cheated?
Like, yeah, do you feel like you only got a third of a game, or do you feel like you've got a $60 product in your hands?
Well, ignoring the fact that I got the collector's edition for $100.
Well, can I also add an extra qualification?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it wasn't $60 at the time, does it also feel as complete as the original StarCraft? So, is it a $60 game, and is it as complete as the original StarCraft?
It's hard for me to compare to StarCraft 1. I wasn't into that. I could compare to, like, WarCraft 3, which is very similar. But the only thing is...
That's fair.
Let me say this. Yeah. No, it feels like a complete game. I levied as much criticism as anybody, I think, on it. And
just excuse me for a second. I'm going to go find my I was right hat.
Now, wait a second. Here's my thing, though. And here's the condition. Those next two things that will be the campaigns for the Zerg and the Protoss, those can't be $60 products.
You don't think?
Because
even if they have, like, substantial, like, upgrades to the multiplayer, like new units and things like that.
What can they do to the how are they going to upgrade them? I don't know what they could do.
Just like Brood War did. You know,
yeah,
new
just
units.
Like Brood War.
Brood War did a... Maybe. But even Brood War wasn't a... Well, okay, right there. That
oh,
was
no, it was
cool
an expansion.
Game.
He's right, yeah.
Well, but here's the other things they could do. Like, have you done the challenges at all yet?
No.
I haven't either. These are apparently, like... the things that actually train you for multiplayer, because a single-player campaign absolutely does not do that. So if you get a whole new single-player campaign, and hence multiplayer, all new challenges with all new achievements tied into all of that, it'd have to be really damn good, but I think it could be justified.
Are the challenges right now Terran only?
I don't think so, okay. But I'm not positive on that.
I don't know. I think it's a stretch to... I feel like you could justify it with this because this is the multiplayer and this single player.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
And it's hard to say, well, here's an updated multiplayer component and the single player component for this.
I think it'll depend,
what
too.
What if it was
like,
twice as
Blizzard,
long?
Are they coming out as considered separate products, or is it going to be like expansion pack requires StarCraft II Wings of Liberty
See,
to
we
play?
Don't even know. They never really been clear on that. I feel like they'll just be separate products, which is kind of what worries me. But even still... But like Super Street Fighter 4 is a separate product, but it was cheaper still.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough territory there. Tread lightly. There might be backlash, and I don't just mean from their community. There might be critical backlash.
Well,
too.
I mean, here's the thing though: if they sell at same price, they can and they will.
Blizzard, I think, seems to care about the reputation a little bit, especially when it comes to being critically acclaimed. I don't know. Like, I mean, they were very sensitive about people complaining about... I remember GamePro wrote, like, an article, and they're just talking about, like, StarCraft 2 is great, and here's, like, the couple of things that aren't great about it. And they said, like, the campaign might be too short. And, like, Blizzard immediately sent them a letter that they wanted them to include in the article, where Blizzard said, plenty of people have said that they like that the length of it is great, and that it's actually longer than StarCraft 1. So don't think that they're not sensitive about this, because they
right.
are. They definitely have some sort of chip on their shoulder about... people kind of accusing them or whatever of, you know, nickel and diming. And like I said, James, going back to that, I don't think it needs to be longer than this turn campaign. And I haven't beat it yet, but I think I'm close to the end. I think this is a good length for a campaign like that. I don't think it needs to be longer. Go ahead.
Can I throw out an idea for a full-featured product that would be the second game? Is Zerg or Protoss coming second?
Zerg.
Okay, so imagine if you had a full-featured Zerg campaign that is just as long as the human campaign, plus a human expansion, and then the multiplayer sort of remains as it is, maybe with a few upgrades.
So it was like a campaign in a third.
a campaign and an expansion, sort of.
Yeah, that could be cool.
It could, like I said, it's tough to judge. This is
and then the third game would be a full Protoss and maybe a Zerg extension. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's hard because these Blizzard games have technically always had the same sort of model. Full game, the next year you get the expansion for $40 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And this is not that. So it's just, it's hard. I don't really know what's up. And that was always my main complaint about this whole thing, AJ, is that just that it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get
it. I don't think EverQuest they quite confusing? Know yet, you know?
Yeah. But I love the product that I have. I just don't quite understand how this all comes together yet.
I'll tell you what, though. Quite frankly, though, I actually really like that it really is just one race because I think that's helping me get good at it. Because the place that I've always failed in playing in RTS is I don't memorize the hotkeys, and I forget tech trees. But because it is just the one race, and that's all I'm focused on, like, I'm using hotkeys left and right, and I know, like, what I'm doing
I'm still
better.
Not
like,
sure how,
it just lets me focus.
I'm still not sure how well this is going to really translate to multiplayer success, especially with so many of these units.
No, I'm not saying it is. But even, like single-player campaigns in RTS, is like, I can beat them, but it becomes a struggle for me. I haven't really gotten that sense
well,
this game.
I feel like
I'm really in control.
No, I feel the same way. I haven't struggled with this campaign at all. I don't know if that's because I'm learning it better or it's just a little easier, maybe, toned down.
Right.
But ultimately, if we're just talking about this product, Wings of Liberty, I really like it. I have no complaints about it. All right.
That's really all you can say about it.
Yeah, really. Yep. I mean, I'll judge what comes next when it comes out. We'll see what happens.
Oh, and I remembered what other game I played.
Oh, great. What?
I started the 30-day challenge in EA Sports Active.
That's fascinating. We are not talking about that.
Why not?
What's
care.
Your BMI?
I don't have a balance board.
What?
But I'll tell you what sucks, though, is because I don't know if you realize this, but I have your copy.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I've had your copy for 3 months.
Well, you can still ask. This is why Chris gets mad at you, by the way.
No, I was going to.
If you didn't notice for 3 months, I don't think he needs to ask.
Exactly.
Okay, that's bullshit. You still have to ask. That's not a good... Also, you were about to steal my Blu-rays, and I was like, those aren't yours. Like, yeah, I'm borrowing them. I'm like, well, thanks for the heads up. All right.
I'm not stealing.
No one needs to hear this stupid brother bickering. What? Yes. What about it? Okay.
Well, the only one thing that sucks is, like, your band had broken, as a lot of people's had, so I did buy new ones at Dick's. These bands don't have straps. Like, you just have to hold on to the end of the band, and they're really short. So it's like this constant struggle to, like, hold the Wii remote in this band and not have the band slip out. It's not the game's fault. It's just an annoyance. What is the game's fault is that inline skating game is bullshit. In this game, you have to, like, do a squat, and then when you go off these ramps, you have to actually jump. It never picks you up jumping, ever.
Probably because you don't have a balance board.
Just no. You can't jump on the balance board. You have to physically jump into the air, and I'm doing it. And, you know, the train's like, oh, you know, you're not quite on it yet. And I'm like, fuck you, I'm jumping. Like, what else can I do?
Oh, you suck at jumping, man. I'm sorry.
Apparently.
Power, Matt. All right, anyways.
Yes.
Ready for
but I liked it. I was actually kind of impressed with, you know, how it works.
Good. You ready for the releases now?
I am ready.
You know, we're pretty good here. I think we're.
I've got a mini rant coming up, just so you know.
Can't wonder what it's possible. What is it even going to be? We'll see. All right.
Okay.
Castlevania: Harmony of Despair for Xbox Arcade came out. Anybody get that? Anyone care?
No.
Earthworm Jim HD. I can't believe this. Did this come out?
This is the PSN version. The Xbox one's been out.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, I played the Xbox trial, and I just realized, like, I don't know, it just, there was a lot of imprecision to Earthworm Jim back in the day that I just kind of chalk up to the game trying to do too much.
You glossed over it.
Yeah, you didn't mind back then because it had so much going on for it, but now, like, things like trying to figure out what parts of the background you could actually walk on and the way aiming works in the game, like, it's eight-directional aiming, but if you paint back and forth between degrees, you can still hit things in between, so it's really imprecise. The stuff I didn't mind back in the day that's still in this game really didn't work for me.
I never got into Earthworm Jim back in the day. Like, I would always rent it, and I always remembered I was just fascinated by how much character Shiny could put into games, like MDK as well. But I even back then, I think I recognized that this wasn't... See, it was a bit janky, and nowadays I have to imagine it just seems amplified by 100.
Mm-hmm. I was totally into it. I still have my Earthworm Jim 2 poster hanging down here.
Too cool for a headline, which is a headline.
I'm surprised.
Is 2 where they added snot?
Yeah. I'm just surprised that this came out, and I guess it wasn't a big deal. Alter Ego for the PC. I don't know what this is, but I got 3.5 on GameSpot. So.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Monster Rancher DS. Apparently Monster Rancher came out. That came back. Oh. Monster Rancher was always like a poor man's Pokemon / Digimon to me.
Didn't that originally force you to put CDs in?
Yeah, this one, you either recite your favorite word or draw a silly picture and see what monster is created.
I remember hearing back in the PlayStation days that if you put in the Men in Black soundtrack, it gave like the best monster, but this was just like something that I heard from a friend. I don't know if that's actually true. Here come the Men in Black. I don't know.
Men in Black, Galaxy Defenders. Oh, God. Okay.
Apparently that made a good monster.
Blaze Blue, Super Melee Brawlers Battle Royale, out for DSiWare. It's like a Blaze Blue kind of themed four-player fighting, like beat 'em up kind of thing.
Well, you have to spell Blaze Blue because it's BLAYZBLOO. It's very cute.
I was also told it's pronounced BlazBlue, actually.
You're right. It is Blaz. I always... Well, I think that...
This one is Blaze. I mean, it has to be, by the way it's spelled.
They both should be Blaze, so...
No. I think it is Blaze. The other one isn't Blaz. And I always used to say Blaz. I was confused.
No one knows.
I always called it... Like, I always called it as a joke, BlazBerry Blue. I always thought that was hilarious. If it's
directly translated from the the Japanese hiragana, it would be Blazu Blue. So that's why I always thought it was Blaz Blue.
Yeah, and Final Fantasy is Fantaru Fantasy or whatever. So
AJ,
what?
Fantaru Fantasy.
Shit! Disney Sing It Family Hits is out on PS3 and Wii.
Yeah, why is it on the 360? Here's my rant: the system that I have 3 microphones for, it's not being released.
Lol.
God damn
this
it.
This is the only place you'll hear any ire about this product ever.
This is very true.
I'm talking as the listener, guys.
Can I use like my USB headset?
I think the USB microphone I have for Rock Band will work on a PS3 or a Wii, but those lips mics won't. So now I can't play multiplayer.
Hey, you get a track list for us. We can talk about it.
I have it. It's right here.
Oh, let's see it. What's on here?
Okay, here
Under
we go.
Under the sea? Under the sea?
Oh, it's got... I played this at E3. It was kind of
did
awkward.
You?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did. I was like, I saw him like, oh, shit, yes. And the girl was like, hi. I'm like, yeah, this is great. I think she was like confused that I was there because I'm sure she didn't get much enthusiasm for his product.
Right.
I'm like there and I'm singing, You Got a Friend Me. Like, this is fucking awesome. She's like, okay.
We have Cruella DeVille from 101 Dimensions.
Okay. All right.
The Time of Your Life from A Bug's Life.
Cool.
A Whole New World from Aladdin.
Classic.
Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast.
Gotta have it.
Our Town and Real Gone from Cars.
Okay.
Nah.
A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, okay. So This is Love, and The Work Song, all from Cinderella.
Cool.
Fair enough.
I Want to Be Like You and The Bare Necessities from The Jungle Book.
Oh, nice.
He's a Tramp from Lady and the
I
Tramp.
Like this. Yeah.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Hakuna Matata, and I Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King.
Got it.
I can, yeah.
Gotta
Under the Sea from Little Mermaid.
Cool.
If I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, nice.
I love that song. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins.
Nice. Guess you have to have it.
Reflection from Mulan. Sadly Not I Will Make a Man Out of You.
Oh, that is a little
sad.
I do
like that song. Almost There and Dig a Little Deeper from The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, cool.
You Can Fly from Peter Pan. I Wonder and Once Upon a Dream from Sleeping Beauty. You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. Woody's Roundup and When She Loved Me from Toy Story.
That's what
2.
I sang Woody's Roundup. That's what I say. It was
That's
awesome.
Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride from Lilo and Stitch.
Ooh,
2.
I like that.
And Winnie the Pooh from Winnie the Pooh.
That's cool.
I know.
Where are my Brother Bear songs or my Home on the Range songs? That's
I know. See,
Great Spirits of All Who Came Before, take our hands together. I got you. Not enough villain songs, though, I gotta say.
I know.
Cruella DeVille is in there.
That's going to be the sequel. It's like Disney Sing It Villain Hits or something.
They need to have Hellfire in there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Hellfire.
No, they need to have Be Prepared.
Yeah.
I can sing all of
that
right now.
DLC.
But no. You got to... What the fuck are we talking about? What's going on? Shit. This isn't... No one cares. Crap, I forgot. How long have we done this?
I think a good 3 minutes.
Oh, my God. Nothing else came out. All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Thanks for joining us, James. A lot of fun. We have to have you back on.
Yeah. It was fun.
Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did.
Good. Because you had no choice. All right.
You must enjoy yourself.
I guess we'll be back next week with more shenanigans and whatnots.
Is next week when we're celebrating our anniversary, or is that the following week?
I can't remember. We're approaching 3 years pretty soon, which I think has to make us one of the longest-running gaming podcasts.
Oh, ho. Patrick, don't pull a muscle.
I'm looking at my 20 mirrors down here right now, admiring myself.
Yeah, no one's ever been in our basement. It's very creepy down there.
Well, whoever lived down here before, they used to like work out down here. So, you know.
Wait, so are you a gamer in a basement?
Yeah, he is.
Isn't that just like so cliche?
1995.
Yeah. Give me my pizza rolls.
He loves fucking pizza rolls.
That's not true.
I saw a thing of bagel bites in the freezer.
Oh my gosh!
Is there like a thin film of orange Cheetos dust on your keyboard?
No. I'm drinking Diet Coke with vitamins. I can tell you that now.
Although, everyone should know that on top of Mike's desk on the top shelf is a General Grievous figurine that has not moved in 4 years.
Is that the guy with four lightsabers?
It's covered in cobwebs.
Is that the guy with four lightsabers?
Yeah. This is not a lie, I have to admit.
Well, at least dust it off.
Like, I'll blow in its direction and hope some things fall off. Yeah, I did nothing. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us at Exploding.
Thanks for having me.
Shut up, James. I'm doing the outro. You be quiet.
Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. And you can always find us on the iTunes Music Store or on the Zoom Marketplace. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening. See you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. See ya.
Bye.